Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Doing mighty fine, just rocking to some Bigfoot boogie. Woo, woo, Bigfoot boogie. Woo, woo. Hey, folks, welcome back to Wednesday night Bigfoot Live Radio Show, where it's me, TJ. It's our big giant rock monster, Ernie Gant. And don't forget, the Rocky Slavin, the bear wrestler. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Doing great, Tommy.
Well, you know, folks, want to first got a couple shout outs here. Oh, sorry about last week, folks. You know, it was Blog Talk. It wasn't us. So if you're listening to the show this week, you'll hear that and know that Blog Talk went down, I guess, for about an hour and a half. And it was, everybody's show times that were at 7 o'clock were affected. So we do apologize, but we're here. We're right back with you. Oh, and I have to do a big shout-out to my father. You know, it's his birthday. He's an old, old, old man. October 9th is his birthday, and it happens today. So I'm sure he's having a great big party wherever he's at.
Oh, happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday,
yep.
Tom.
Yeah, big
wow.
Time. You know, guys, the deeper I look, the more of this. I think I'm going to drop Facebook, man. I'm done with Facebook and Bigfoot. because there's nothing really going on. I mean, well, yeah, there's some stuff going on, but you know, the new one that's going around now is this eyeball of a face.
Oh, that trail cam.
A trail cam shot, right? Are you talking about the one? I'm pretty sure it's a mountain lion with his ears back. That's my guess. But people out there are, I mean, oh my God! I mean, they're so sure it's not. You know, they'll bet their lives on it. You know, and you know, they'll send pictures of mountain lions with little black lines around their eyeballs. They don't all have those black lines, you idiots. You know, I just cannot stand people that know nothing about the woods or wildlife. You know, making giant bogus claims. And this is, I guess, this Bigfoot got down on his hands and knees and stared at the camera, too, you know, because it wasn't very high up in the tree. You can tell by what's around it. It just, it's starting to make me sick. It's starting to make me sick. Make me crazy, you know. You got to
see so many pictures. I see pictures now, and you know, all you see is trees. And the caption underneath is like, hey, do you see what I see? And everybody's like, yeah. For the life of me, I sit there and stare at the picture. Now, I know my eye's going bad, but I don't see anything. And so I just don't answer. I don't say anything. I don't see anything.
Today on Facebook, they had several pictures of Bigfoot. Okay, I didn't know if I was looking at just a big glob of mud. I don't know what it was. It was definitely out of focus. But it was, I saw nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing that made me think that it was any living creature at all.
Right.
Wow.
But, you know, there was a lot of people that was pretty stunned by the pictures. I didn't see it.
Yeah, well, they're not seeing nothing. They're looking at shadows and light and leaves, you know. I just don't understand what's going on. I mean, people are getting delusional. I mean, just I think it was a couple of days ago, there was this was out on Bigfoot Believers Only, okay. A guy was out walking through the woods. I guess he was getting ready. Let's see, what was he doing? He's a retired guy, and he's basically – was out setting up deer blinds deep in the woods when he ran across some bear tracks in the mud, crossing a stream, with small strides, right? Small feet, 13 inches. And you could actually clearly see the toes. And, you know, he had an encounter back in 2014 and I guess once in 2018 while he was deer hunting. And he suspected it to be a juvenile, Bigfoot. And I went, dude, it's a stream. It's mud. And it's the picture shows the stream in the middle, right? It's Bigfoot, it's Bigfoot, this Bigfoot, that Bigfoot, that. And I put in there, or it could have been a kid wearing shoes that got up to the stream when it was a little bit wider and decided that I don't want to make my shoes wet, so I'm going to take them off, and I'm going to hold them in my hands, and I'm going to walk across the stream because I can't jump across. And then when it gets to the other side, he puts his shoes back on. Then he goes, well, why are the strides so close together? I go, when's the last time you tried to walk through the mud? You're going to walk real slow, small strides, keep your footing to go across so you don't fall down in the water. And people are like, well, maybe not. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I'm supposed to believe that. Exactly, you know.
Oh, man.
My goodness. You know, 13 inches. I said, look, man. The obvious answer is there. If you have an obvious answer, then it most likely might be that. When you alleviate all the rest of it and you can't figure anything out, then you might have a creature.
Yeah, that's
you know?
That old Occam's razor.
That's
whatever's
it,
the
Occam's
easiest
razor.
Answer. Yeah, whatever's the easiest, whatever looks the most copacetic, that's probably it. 9 times out of 10.
Well, you know,
that's the truth.
There's a lot of bears in my area, and there's so many times that I've seen where bears walk through the rear foot overlapping the front.
Oh, yeah.
Foot.
Yeah.
And you know,
in the double print.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen so many people that was just, you know, torn up because of what they saw. Then when they showed it to me, you know, they acted like I was an asshole because I told them the truth. They said, mm-hmm. No, it's a bear. I said, well, no, that's not a bear. And I said, well, look at the tracks before that. I said, you know, every now
yeah,
and then
you
you'll get a, yeah, you'll get an overlap. But when you look at the ones that got there before that track and the ones that are after, it's single
right.
Track.
There's the rest of the story, yeah. Yep.
Well, you know, when me and the Swede and Jimmy Johnson, first time Jimmy Johnson had ever gone to the woods with us, and he thought that me and the Swede were insane anyhow. But we were four-wheeling, and the four-wheeler he was on.
Smart kid.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking
well,
you're
you
insane.
Know, we already let him know that if we ran out of food, he was going to be it.
He's on the menu.
Yeah. But anyhow, we were out there doing our four-wheeling thing. The Swede was going ahead, and Jimmy Johnson was riding a little four-wheeler that every time we'd cross the creek, we'd have to stop and pull him out and, you know, drain the water out of the carburetor. But so I was staying back behind him so we didn't get him out there and lose him. Well, I had pulled him out of the creek. Swede had gone on. Jimmy went on while I was wrapping my rope back up. I took off after him, and when I came out into the clearing, the Swede was off of his four-wheeler beside the creek. He was off of his four-wheeler, had his .44 Magnum in his hand. And Jimmy Johnson, he looked like he'd just shit his pants. I mean, he was just, he was, anyhow, I didn't see anything. Anyhow, when I got off, I asked Swede, I said, you know, what's happening? And he said, I just saw something black.
Right.
Upright, standing down there in the creek. And it took off. Well, I said, Jimmy, did you see anything? And he said, yes, I did. He said, just not as well as the Swede did, but I did see something. So we went down there, down the creek. It was probably 150 yards. And sure enough, there was, you could see where something had run out of the creek, splashed water all over the rocks, but then it started up the bank. The bank was really steep. And there was the footprint was there. Okay, it wasn't a double track. It was a single track, and it was, you know, five toes, no claw marks. Well, it was, if it was a man's footprint, for one thing, he was probably insane because, well, you've been there, Tommy. You've been to the overhang.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was about 200. No, you don't go barefoot down there.
Yeah.
You can't get down there going barefoot.
Gotcha.
And
well, what is
anybody
it,
like
trying
to walk
miles?
Down there is crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're not going to make it that far. But
because they don't want to walk back up the hill.
Hell no. But anyhow, Jimmy Johnson saw it. He came on the show and told about it. But you know, we've seen tracks out there. We see bear tracks all the damn time. And it's so easy to tell the difference between an overlap and a 18-inch single footprint.
Right.
But, and, you know, we didn't, we didn't have any way to take a picture. I mean, we never took a cell phone down there.
Yeah, we'd take the phone.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was no way to use a cell. You can't bounce your signals off a tree. Tommy knows the one spot where we camped all the time. You had about a 4-foot square that you had to stand in to get any service
stand in
at all.
Yep. That's right.
Stand on 1 foot, look to the west, and crook your arm. That's the way you could get signal.
You drag Doyle over. You make him stand on his back. You climb up on top of his back. Then you bring Rocky over, and then you hold his hand with one arm, and he stretches up like a big antenna, so Doyle and him look like they're making a big U, and you're trying to talk looking up. Isn't that right, Doyle?
That's exactly right.
Well, all right, talking about that place, we got 3 people on the line right now that's heard things out there, has seen things out there. Me and Doyle sitting out there 8 minutes after midnight. Something squalled out. Doyle asked me, he said, "Rocky, what was that?" And I said, "Doyle, I do not know." And he said, "No, you can't do me that way." He said, "You're supposed to know." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I don't." Well, okay, he went and woke Tommy up. Never heard another sound until, not the next night, but the night after that. We were all sitting up talking. And Tommy I guess he was recording this because he couldn't believe that, you know, most people wouldn't have believed that, you know, a couple of hay shakers talk that kind of shit all the time. But anyhow, he recorded when the thing squalled out that night. I still to this day don't know what it was. Have no idea.
Jeremy said it was a howler monkey, remember?
A howler monkey?
Yeah, howler monkey.
Oh, gosh, Jeremy, though.
He's some kind of an owl, but I said, you know, I've heard all kinds of owls, but none that sound like a primate.
Oh, yeah, no, I've never heard a monkey owl in Arkansas. It didn't sound like any owl that I'd ever heard. And truth.
Well, you know what it was.
I mean,
Jeremy smoking a little bit of that wacky tobacco. He's here pretty much every day.
A little.
Well, we'll try to be nice here.
Truck size of a hay bale.
Okay. Same area. Me and Tommy. Nobody knows that we're there. Me and Tommy is driving down in the bottoms. And we're on this fire road, and we break into this little opening by the creek, and here's this guy walking down to us. He's got his camp set up. He's walking down to us, and the first words out of his mouth, "Well, it's about time y'all got here," because he saw the searching for Bigfoot stickers on the door. He took us down the trail. You know, he was telling us that, they're here. So there's 3 of them here, a male, a female, and a juvenile. Saw the juvenile. He saw the female and didn't want to see the male because he was mean. Well,
right.
Tommy asked, do you have any, any thing to show, any kind of evidence? So he took us down this trail, and he kicked over a big piece of tree bark.
Big piece of the bark, yeah.
Yeah. And there was a footprint, and then he took us up the trail and kicked another one over and another one. Well, and then Doyle went down and talked to him for quite some time, and Well, you know, the guy was pretty believable.
Well, actually, Rocky, I think some of the video, there's actually video of Doyle talking to him on our YouTube channel on searchingforbigfoot.com. So if you go to the YouTube channel, once you're in searchingforbigfoot.com, you can see all of our investigations, our mini take you through the woods. You know, check them out. It's hard to find if you're just looking, but if you go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com, and then you click on our YouTube videos, it'll take you over to it, and you'll see all the videos. I mean, us going through the coal mines in Kentucky, the what were those shoots, Doyle, up in Kentucky? Those where they had the
auger
blowing out
for auger
holes,
right,
so they could breathe down in
holes.
There's
all kinds of people who swear that they used the coal mines, the old abandoned coal mines, as a way to get through from like one mountain to another, and
I swear that's
the way they do it all the way through. But they say that's how they traverse through the Appalachian Mountains during migration so quickly. Is they travel underground through the coal mines.
Well, that's what the Native Americans say out here. They say that they go into the lava tubes. Everybody asks the elders, like, why didn't your people, you know, to stay warm, whatever, go down into the tubes? And they, no, that's where the long-haired cannibals lived. They didn't go down there because that's what they did. They used the lava tubes to get around, supposedly. So
wow.
I don't doubt that at all. You guys got plenty of caves down there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know, here in the paradise down here. Yeah, here in the Ozarks, you know, we've got all kinds of cave systems.
Yeah.
People living in them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we had one that...
Well,
you
were talking about Bigfoot Billy a while ago, you know, with the guy
that
had his camp set up. And he wanted to be called Bigfoot Billy because he was a friend of the Bigfoot. But he was all the people I've interviewed, you know, I interviewed people for a living. That's what I've done for 30 years. And talk to people and kind of, I can sniff out a bullshitter from a believer. And Bigfoot Billy with all his heart believed that because he got so concerned once he did start telling us about them that we were going to hurt one of the creatures that he was like, you've got a problem with me, or I'm not talking to you anymore. You will not hurt them if you see them. Please don't hurt them.
Yeah.
And she was generally concerned about these creatures he was to see.
In that area alone, there was, you know, me and the Swede, the knife that I got my cuties stolen. And now I'm not talking about my girlfriends, my, I don't know, they're kind of like tangerines. Anyhow, I had my cooler full of fruit stolen out of the tree 8 feet from where I was sleeping. Never heard a sound. We found it. We found the cooler, but, you know, it didn't do much good because it was tore into pieces. The next night, I got a phone call. Me and Robert was hiding out in the woods. We stayed up. We had tuna fish opened up, sitting out on the table. We had canned fruit opened up out on the table, and we were up in the woods. I was on the west side. Swede was on the east side, and I was sitting there in my little hideout, and I got a phone call. And it was Youngblood, and he said, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And I was trying to be all quiet and everything, and telling him that I'm hiding out, hoping to get one to come back into camp, get him some more groceries. And anyhow, while I was trying to talk to Youngblood, tell him what was up, I heard a little whistle, and I told him, I said, gotta go, I'll call you back. And about the time I did, it looked like that section of the world exploded, because the Swede threw down on a, what he said was a big shadow inside a shadow. And when he fired that old 454 Casull off, it lit the world up. And, well, we'd strung a heavy thread all the way around our campsite, about 8 feet off the ground. Well, whatever it was he shot at broke that thread. Well, that was the point. But we found footprints. It happened like Sunday morning at midnight. Sunday morning, right at midnight. And I immediately called Tom as I was on my way back down to the camp, because I thought that maybe, you know, this is the time. But the Swede couldn't find his way out because the muzzle flash had blinded him. So I let him out, and I handed him the phone, and he talked to Tom. And I took my flashlight over there and found footprints. And we just knew that we had scored this time. But all that actually happened was the Swede put a big hole in a scaly bark hickory tree. So, but when he fired the shot at whatever it was, it had moved behind that little stand of trees, and so it was just bad luck that we didn't find anything. But we tried till, I guess it was Wednesday before we came out. But as far as the believing part, well, I'm a big believer that something's out there. And you know, I had a little experience out in another little piece of Arkansas that, I don't know, I guess it was just kind of a place that you really didn't want to go to. But that's what I was going to talk about last week, was Bigfoot hunters and the government people. Tom calls them the men in black. Well, I did have a little run-in with them one time, and me and my dad, we were guests of theirs for a week. We didn't want to be, but, you know, they didn't ask us. They just kind of told us and put handcuffs on us and kicked our asses for us and asked a bunch of stupid questions we couldn't answer. But then, I told Tom about it several years later. And then after I started kind of hanging with Tom and them, had a visit from some old boys come up to my restaurant and wanted to show me some restaurant equipment. Had it in their van. I walked out there, and when he slid the side door open on that van, the guy sitting in the driver's seat pointed a damned old gun at me and kind of let me know that I wasn't doing right, because I wouldn't just, you know, keep my mouth shut about everything that happened when I was out there at a government-owned nuclear facility. Well, it's been shut down for years. They said, a lot of people said otherwise, but you know, I've had little conversations, if you would, with them. And last Wednesday, you know, I was telling Tommy about it. I was walking through my restaurant earlier in the week, and there was two guys sitting there, and as I walked by, the one said, he didn't ask me who I was. He said, "You're Rocky, aren't you?" And I said, yeah. I said, anyhow, he introduced himself. He was with Homeland Security, and the guy that was with him was from the FBI, and they weren't threatening or anything. They said, let me know that they didn't have any problems with me because the problems had all gone away. The problem, I guess, was the old nuclear facility, because just a little bit ago, it all went away. I mean, they completely dismantled every bit of it. And then I called into the show and was going to tell everybody about it, and the show didn't work. And, you know, the first thing I thought, oh, well, you know, this don't look good for me at all. But, but anyhow, we're having a show tonight. So apparently, you know, the G-Man ain't gonna swoop down on me or anything.
Rocky, I'm wearing my aluminum foil on my head too, though. So
I thought you
can't read my mind or anything.
Well, they can't read my mind because there's just nothing on my mind to read. But I just thought it was really odd. I really thought it was odd. But Tommy assured me.
Not scared of no daggone men in black. I know him.
No, I just don't like getting my ass wet.
That's a great little segue. That's a great little segue about getting your ass wet. So here comes, we're going to do a little commercial break so we can go get our other things wet. Be right back.
All right.
Be on the outside.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there, Rob?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Yeah, we're silent.
Oh, let's be on mute trying to do a commercial. You folks, you can get right on over to searchingforbigfoot.com, where you can get Bigfoot Lives 1, Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3. We've also got Anatomy of Bigfoot Hoax there, Hoax of the Century, Brutal Bigfoot, In the Shadow of Bigfoot. Hey, everything you need. Everything, if you want Bigfoot, go on over, check it out, help support it. Because that's what we're here for. So come on back, check us out, go over to Bigfoot Lives, searchingforbigfoot.com, and get some of our merchandise and help us support the expedition and save Bigfoot. Save the planet.
What do you think, Rocky? You've got to have a hat.
You've got to
have
a
Bigfoot
hat.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know. So, Doyle, tell us, brother, what's been going on in the Bigfoot world out in Kentucky? Well,
go ahead,
Carol
there, buddy.
Grabbed him. Carol, grab a hold of your ear and yank you into the house.
Yeah, you know she's a bitch.
Oh!
I'm just teasing. I love her, bless her heart. I love her with all my heart. She just can't help it because she's the devil's sister. They heard you chomping on me there. I wasn't muted whenever you were chomping at me a minute ago. So now the whole damn world
knows
what you're mean to me, Carolyn.
Yep.
I got you there, didn't I? Anyway, now that everybody knows my personal life. I was just going to say, I wanted to comment on one thing that Rocky said a while ago about the Swede.
Yeah.
In Arkansas, first time I met the Swede, he stepped out of his truck. Damn, he's 7 foot tall. You know, and he's got that blonde hair. And he's a Swede. I mean, he looks like a Swede. He looks like he came straight off Olympic skiing team or something. Anyway, he stepped out there. And the first thing I thought before I even heard the story about the flash fire with the 454 Casull and the blind spot and all that, I said, that is a tree-killing son of a bitch right there. I said, if there's any damn man can kill a tree, it's that big Swede right there. He took me as I took him right off the bat for being a tree killer. But when Rocky told me about, he was telling me that story, heck, we was, what, 3, 4 o'clock into the morning, Rock. And Rocky was telling me that story. And Rocky has a way of being able to sit around a campfire and turn a 10-minute story into an all-night event. Because he'll branch off. And you talk about multitasking.
Yep.
Rocky can do it because he'll start with one story and you'll hear 65 more in between. And before you realize it, you've sat up all night long talking to Rocky Slavin and you ain't got a real breath because you flashed your hind end off all night long. Now,
truth spoken.
First time I ever met Big Tom, he came up to me. First thing he said after we talked for about 30 minutes or so, he looked at me and said, "You speak that same shit as Rocky Slade." He said, "I couldn't ride in a truck for a day with you two." He said, "Go crazy."
Oh, God, yeah. Don't think about my old man. He's going to tell you how he feels. You're going to hear it no matter what.
Got to love him, though.
Yeah, you get what you get, period.
I think the first time I ever met him, he walked up, shook my hand, gave me a big old Italian hug, and said, "God damn, you're fat."
God.
He said, "I'd expected more out of years of government training than this."
I'll just tell you, being on the road with the Bigfoot boys is the most fun I've ever had.
Ain't it?
Yeah,
we do have
it's
a blast.
Just, yeah, we do.
You know, nobody can say any different. We have a blast.
Yeah, the, shit, that one trip, Tommy had to sit over in the passenger side and listen to me for 9,000 miles. He said, even when I was asleep, I was talking.
Yeah. He used to have to live in the same hometown as me. How do you think he felt then?
Wow.
I could follow him to work. I could follow him anywhere I wanted to.
I wouldn't trade either one of you boys for 900 other assholes. I'd rather have you two got my back than 900 people. Serious, all day long.
Well, you know what the difference? You know what the difference between a true friend and a non-friend is, don't you, Tommy?
Not really, but I got
a true friend. True friend talks shit to your face, but talks good about you behind your back.
There
a
you
non-friend
go. You're right.
Talks good to your face and talks shit about you behind your back.
Ain't that the truth? That's the truth.
It is.
100%. You know, and you find out in this business who your true friends are. You really do. You know, because, God, let me tell you, I tell people every day, if you're not hated in the Bigfoot business, you're not doing something right. you ain't doing it right, because if you're doing what it needs to be done to hump the Bigfoot, people hate you. They're jealous. They get pissed off. I mean, hell.
My first trip ever out with you, Tommy got a whiff of something happening down in Paris, Texas. We went straight to Paris, Texas, out of Dallas. Got to Paris down there. Some bitch looked up, and I knew for a fact that Moneymaker was sitting in Harlan County 3 days earlier in Kentucky, ripping those poor taxpayers out of everything they had, getting free meals and hotels and tearing up four-wheelers from dealerships that were loaning them to him and everything else. And him and that big dope-smoking gorilla he's got, Bobo, who I think might be a descendant of Bigfoot. God damn it, they
Bobo.
Show up and start following us around Paris, Texas. And who tells you who's the boss? Who brought the baby?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Some people lead and other people follow and fall behind the wayside, brother. Yep.
Same thing in Rockwall, Texas. We showed up. I found some footprints. Anyhow, I think we went back into town, and that part of it got out thanks to Cryptomundo. And I guess it was the next
day. There's a
day.
Big old boy.
Yeah, he's got an appetite. The next day, me and the Swede.
Craig Woolheater, that was his name.
Yeah,
Craig
that's
Woolheater.
World Eater.
Craig Worldeater.
Here's the thing about, you know what I like about our conversations, guys? We're not scared to call the goddamn names.
No. Hell no.
We'll call them.
I don't give a
shit. We'll call them out. You hear so many of these people want to be politically correct and say, well, Mr. X said, or I heard from, we call them out.
Yep.
Call them out, boys. Call them out. Call them what they are. Be a poker player. Call them out.
Yeah. Wow. But yeah, Rocky, right in Rockwall, Texas, man, they just, keep it to ourselves. You guys really ran us off, yep. Because, you know.
Yeah, come out with the damn law.
Yeah, well, you know, and actually, that's okay because, you know, it was their land and they figured they were going to make some money. But, you know, guess what? The real Bigfoot hunters weren't there, so nothing else happened after that. Dun, 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 dun.
No, Matt Moneymaker showed up, though.
Yeah, but they didn't have nothing.
Matt Moneymaker was there 2 days after
he also showed up in Great Tarleton County, Kentucky. And he's lucky he didn't get his ass out of there. You ever heard that song, You Never Leave Harlan Alive? My God, Matt Moneymaker's lucky he left Harlan alive. Those people catered him, pampered his ass up there, put him up in the best of places to stay, brought him brand new ATVs, side-by-sides, four-wheelers and stuff from a dealership down there that said, you know, here, use this stuff, and then we'll sell it as used. But we want you to have this since you're putting Harlan County on TV, you know. And he had the tourist commission and all that crap fired up. Went in there and filmed for, I mean, he was there forever. Found out we were in Paris, Texas. Snuck out in the middle of the night and left Harlan County owing, I don't know, $150,000 worth of damages and bills that the taxpayers and the people and the business owners had to eat up.
Our good friend Michael Green said that Matt Moneymaker is really pretty good, pretty handy at slipping out in the middle of the night.
Ain't that
well,
the truth?
Well, it's 29
dollars. You know,
folks, and
we
got
to throw a plug in
here. At,
if you want to read more about that, then, Doyle, I talked to you. So you have to, folks, go get Mike Green's book. If you want the tell-all book, Mike Green wrote one. And you guys, you know, he was with us for, and he still is. He's just kind of incapacitated with some injuries right now. But he wrote a book. He talks about Matt Moneymaker and Melba Ketchum or Ketchup or whatever her name is. you know, what happened when, you know, he met up with them. And it was called Sasquatch for Sale. Okay?
Nah.
It's basically death DNA and duplicity. And he talks about everybody, you know. And that's why we like Mike. Because he's just like us. He's gonna say it as it is. And he got fucked. Everybody that's in this book pretty much fucked him. Okay? So he went out and wrote a book about him. And it's the truth. Okay? There's some good reads in it. Go check it
out.
Get it on Amazon or something. You know, and we might even sell it on our website. So check it out. If it's not on our website, send us an email, and I'm sure we'll get one out to you. I think they're $15. Good. Let me look at this thing. How much reading is in this book?
Plug it. Put it on there. I'll buy it, and I'd like to read it.
I've got a signed copy.
369 pages. Just the greatest stuff in the world. I think we're going to read some chapters from his book next week. That's what we'll do. What an idea. And we'll dedicate the whole
thing
to the book.
That is a good idea.
And the people in it. Because, folks, it opened my eyes. Because, you see, I already knew I had already been screwed by the same people he'd been screwed by. And he's good enough to write a book. I'm just not that good. Well, I don't got that much time to sit down and write. But if you also want to know another good book, it's by Jabba Bob, small fact. And it was Monsters, Myths, and Me. And that's pretty much a 5-year expedition. And I think you can get that on our website also. But let's see here. This is called the Olympic Peninsula Project back in 2008. There's Bobo and Michael Green, Wally Hursum, and Cliff Brackman, and they blacked out Matt Moneymaker's face. But he's in there. Check that section out. But, folks, we are getting near the end of this show. I wanted to just bring in Ernie here real quick. Ernie, tell us what's going on in the rock world.
Oh, man. Well, not much going on. You know, Mud Fossils Ministries is doing good. Getting people are finding lots of things. No Bigfoot sightings around lately, which is kind of odd. I had a cougar sighting yesterday. That was pretty cool. But other than that, I'm watching out for cougars.
Talking about the four-legged kind or?
No, this is the four. There's a couple of the two-legged. No, but this is the four-legged one.
Okay. I was just checking.
No, I've seen a couple of the other ones. But you know what? The other ones are a little bit more dangerous. I'd rather meet the four-legged one, I think.
Yeah, but at least the four-legged ones won't take your wallet.
There you go. They might eat it, but no. So not much other than that. You know, just keep looking for rocks and That's about it. Still finding the same old things.
Well, boys, I wanted to thank you all, each one of you, for coming on every Wednesday night and sharing our stories, our little Bigfoot roundtable with the world, because that's what we do. So, folks, check us out every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. And next week, we're gonna read from and talk about Sasquatch for Sale. And we'll talk about, you know, the examination of the Sierra Kills, the Ketchum DNA study, the Olympic Project, the BFRO, the Falcon Project. And we'll talk a little bit about Mike's 20 years looking for the truth. So, folks, don't forget to join us. And last words are going to go to Rocky first.
Go to the Bigfoot store, buy T-shirts, buy caps, buy mugs.
Go to Tim's Pizza in Fayetteville, Arkansas, folks. Go check out.
Thank you.
One day, Bart, he'd make a Bigfoot pizza, you know, that he could sell for people that just wanted a Bigfoot pizza, or name it the Sasquatch Stiletto, or I don't. We needed to get David Portnoy, the friggin' pizza guy, out to rate your pizzas, man. That would help you. Look him up on Facebook, he's a pizza guy, and he rates some pizzas.
The Carnivore.
There you go. Go to the last word.
Last word. Love everybody out there. And if y'all want to spend money, if you don't spend it at the Bigfoot store, you can send it to me.
Ernie, last word, Ernie.
My happy birthday, Tom. Make it a good one.
There you go. Also, one last shout-out, a little mention to Mineral Mountain Hatchet Works. Guys, if you want a real knife, you'll go there and get it, or you'll order it and have them make it for you. If you want a knife that's going to work for you out in the woods, it's not going to break for you, and it'll actually do what it needs to be done, I'm sure you can go to YouTube or Facebook and look them up. But let me tell you something. I've watched Rocky split woods with some of these knives without tearing them up, and my Bigfoot toenail has gone. I don't know. I've done so much with this thing. I've worked on my car engine with the damn thing. Okay. That's a sharp edge. When I didn't have the right screwdriver, I could put it in there and it would just take the screws right out. Folks, Minute Mountain Hatchet Works in Arkansas. Folks, thanks for joining us this week. Make sure you join us next week on the Bigfoot Live radio show. Have a great night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together, reason for the facts.